I'm waiting.
There we go.
Hoping against all hope, God is able. That's what I have entitled today's message. Lord, I pray that you will bless the word as I speak it, that any words that I speak would fade away, but your word would accomplish everything you would have it to accomplish. I pray that by your Holy Spirit you will bring to my recall everything that you would have me to say. And I pray for open and glad hearts to receive it. And I include my own in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. The word call, it literally means to cry out to get somebody's attention. And we've all got times in life when we just need to know that God is listening. You could be in a dry, barren place, a struggling place. You could be numb. You could be crying out for somebody else. Help! It's one of the things we learned in the first day of course yesterday. Don't be too proud to shout for help. We all need help. We all need help at some point or another in our lives. And we all know people who need help. And what a beautiful assurance is in this verse. God will answer. Call to me and I will answer you. It's a beautiful assurance. When you call, when you cry out, when you address someone, it means to shout, it means to proclaim, it means calling upon the Lord or calling upon his name. And God promises Jeremiah that if he would call out to him, not only would he answer him, but he would reveal things to him, great and mighty things that couldn't otherwise be known. This is better said, this word, great and mighty things, it also is better said as isolated or inaccessible things. That's what he translates as. Things that God would give Jeremiah a revelational insight, revealing things that would otherwise be hidden. This isn't just for Jeremiah. Today, through Christ Jesus, call upon God and he will answer. And in his time, he will give you revelation on things otherwise hidden. On his things. And we say, I called to God. I cried to God. I've asked him. Why don't I hear an answer? How long? I'm going to read from Isaiah 35, verses 3 to 6. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like deer and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. What a beautiful picture. But it starts in verse 3 where I've chosen these scriptures. Strengthen the weak hands. Strengthen, that means fasten upon. Hold tight to those weak hands. Be courageous, weak hands. It means to help. It means to repair. It means to fortify. It means to be obstinate. I get that. It means to conquer, not just as individuals, but corporately. Encourage each other. Fortify and build up each other. Communicate strength and help and encouragement to each other. Because where is this strength in the weak hands? This isn't just weak hands, it's slackened hands. It's when you're faint. Not just your hands, it's in body and mind. Your body may look okay, but you could be feeling weak in your mind. I used the scripture earlier. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. God gets to the root of what we really need. And we can look like the strongest people coming into church, praising and worshipping. And we could be these people that need strengthening because we could be weak and fainting within our spirit. It says, make firm those feeble knees. Or in the King James, it's confirm those feeble knees. And this word confirm, again, it means strengthen, establish, give courage to those who are feeble. That doesn't mean feeble as in, oh, I'm pathetic. It means those who are tottering, those who are wavering, those who are faltering, those who are stumbling, those who are fainting. They may even have fallen. This isn't a call to judge. This is a call to help. This is a call to be a body of Christ. And when this was written, God was encouraging Israel to look out for each other. There's times when we all need a bolster. We all need a boost. There's times when we all need somebody to come alongside us and to encourage us. There's a saying, no man is an island or woman. And it's true, we need one another. Yes, God will do it. But sometimes we need God with skin on. I said that many times. My auntie was suffering with cancer. She was very close to me. She was like a second mother. Actually, it was like having three mothers with my two aunties and my mum. You'd be hugged to an all-enveloping bosom as good as looked at. And she was very poorly, and I couldn't get down to see her. She lived down in Llandaff Cathedral. Not very far, but it was not possible for me to go down and see her. And we were talking, and I said about the many mansions. I said, God's preparing a place for you because we knew that it wasn't long. And she said, I hope he's painted it the right colour. And then as we talked, she said, you know, Linda, sometimes I need God with skin on, and I understand that completely. We can be God with skin on to each other and to other people. They may not even realize it, but we carry Jesus where we go. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? This word hard is, whether I pronounce it rightly or not, I don't care. In the Hebrew, it's polo, right? And it means to separate or to distinguish, to cause or to make great. And by implication, what this means is there anything too difficult? Is there anything too wonderful? Anything too wondrous? Anything too marvelous for me, says God? As a verb, it means to be extraordinary, to be beyond one's power to do something, to be beyond human power to do something, to perform wonderful acts. God is saying, is there anything too wondrous, too marvelous for me to do? No, there isn't. Paulo is used primarily with God, its subject. Expressing actions that are beyond the bounds of human powers or expectations. You see, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You can cry out to God. You can ask him, but God sees. He sees all and he knows all. Beyond our expectations, don't put God in a box. But we do. Because we've got such little minds, and I'm sorry, I might just be talking about myself, but my little brain and my little mind quite often would put God in a box, because to think outside of the box is not only sometimes scary, it's sometimes impossible. When you're the one who is wavering, when you're the one who is weak, You can't think outside the box. I'll confess to you now. I can't think outside of the box for more than one day ahead. Sufficient for the day is the worry for the day. In my weakness, Christ is made strong. And I have said even today that there is something coming up in October, which I will announce at the end of the meeting. For ladies, sorry, guys. I can't think that far ahead. I can't plan that far ahead. I can't plan very far ahead at all. Because there's times when I waver. My faith is strong, but I am weak. But God, Christ alone, is my strength. And he confirms that he is with me in so many ways. And I know that he does it with you. But I draw strength from your prayer. I draw strength from the encouragement and the love and the goodwill and the words of faith that are spoken to me and over me. Back to Isaiah 35, 4 and 6. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Some of you might have Oswald Chambers' book, Streams in the Desert. Oh, Lord, I'm in the wilderness. I'm not literally in the wilderness now. I've spoken to people even in the past week who say, I am in the wilderness. I can't find the path. When will those streams of refreshing come? You know what it's like on a gloriously hot day to slake your thirst with ice cold drink. You see the stream. Actually, I've had the most glorious photos this morning coming through on my WhatsApp group, because my older son, my middle son and my grandson, along with four of their friends, have walked this weekend. They started out Friday morning. They finished last night. They've come home this morning. They walked from Chepstow to Simmons Yat along the River Wye. And I have received the most glorious pictures today, because yesterday was such a beautiful day. It was a little bit cloudy on Friday for them and they got a little bit damp. Yesterday was a beautiful day and then they did get damp in the night. But hey, the streams, the rivers, and Luke said they were so clear. And he said, I don't know what they were really like, but they looked so pure. And you just think, you see the streams, and there's something about water, running water, that is so soothing. I go to drive to the sea side, and I could even just sit in the car and look, and I feel like I'm on a holiday. There's something about running water, the sound of it, the look of it. And then when you see the vegetation flourishing all around it, clear, fresh water, and they shall burst forth in the wilderness. It may be a dry and barren place. You might be in a struggling place. Somebody you know could be in a struggling place. God says, I will break through. He is a breakthrough God. When we went to Julie's mum's funeral, as we walked along the road up in Trevill, up on a beautiful mountainside, in the cold, I pointed out to Lynn, I said, look at that, there's a tree growing out of a rock. Just down off the side of the road, on the side of the mountain, there's this massive slab of rock. And growing out of it somehow was a tree, not a little tree, it was quite a big tree. And it wasn't split in the rock. It hadn't grown around the rock. Somehow, it had managed to push its way through the rock. And Lynn said, you could make a sermon out of that. I can't make a sermon out of it, but I can use it as an example. Jeremiah 32:17, our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. That rock might have seemed an impossible place for a little seed to grow into a tree. Right now, I'm trying very hard not to kill the seedlings that I've grown from seeds that were harvested from plants last year. I'm not a gardener, but I'm trying very hard to be one. I've succeeded to some degree, but I'm sure that there's lots of failures as well. My sunflowers haven't done anything. I need some different seeds. Oh, stop showing off, Sonia. No, my seeds were harvested from last year's sunflower. I think I let them dry for too long and they're not germinating. That's a different thing. We put a seed into the soil and everything that that tiny little seed needs to grow is within its casing. The smallest of seeds has everything that it needs to give it life. But look at what it has to push through to get to the sun. To the smallest seed, even a little bit of soil on top must be impossible. That tree, that seed, had somehow managed to find its way through, and I don't care how impossible this sounds, go up to Trevor and have a look yourself, through a rock. There must have been a little teeny tiny fissure in that rock because the tree found it.
The Trevelet.
What is it called?
The Trevelet.
The Trevelet. Oh, I thought you meant it was like a, you know, it. No, it's not him, it's a. Yeah, I reckon it was quite a special place. You are closer to God up there, Julie. It is one of the highest villages. Yeah. I'm calling out to you, God. There must be something more. I'm waiting, but I'm struggling. Or I'm calling out to you, God. I'm waiting, but I can see they're still struggling. Somebody you love, somebody you know. And they're growing faint and they're growing weaker. And they're going, help! You could be going, help, God, I cannot see an end. Call upon me and I will answer. Hope against hope. I will answer. We know the story of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis. I'm going to look particularly at Sarah. Her name originally was Sarai, which means my princess. And she was married to a man called Abram. His name Abram, not Abraham, Abram. And that meant exalted father. She was by all accounts incredibly beautiful, even into her older age. And the first account that we see of these is in Genesis 12. And Sarai at this point, is already about 65 years old. Abram is 75 years old and it's noted that they are childless. And it's causing massive, massive pain. She's tortured by it. Her shortcomings are noted in Genesis, and they are undeniable. But she's got strengths as well. There are contrasts and there are contradictions. She is faithful to God. She is faithful to her husband. It's noted in the scriptures. It's noted, it's referred to in Hebrews. But she was frustrated. She could be temperamental. She did things wrong. She was an extraordinary, ordinary woman. She wasn't young when God called Abram out from where they lived and told them to go to a land they didn't know. It doesn't mention Sarai, but she followed him. She left her family and she went with her husband. She was faithful to her husband. They weren't naturally nomadic people. She was 65 years of age when she left her home and became a nomadic person. God promised her husband, Abraham, three times. First, you'd be the father of a great nation. And a bit later, his seed will be as the dust of the earth. Third time, his seed would be like the stars in the sky in number. And Sarai was still childless. It might even have felt like a mockery. 24 years later, when she was 89, and Abraham was 99, the promise was still unfulfilled. Those promises that her husband had been given were still unfulfilled. Still, they were walking in faith. Things had gone on. Life had happened. When you read the stories, Sarai tried to play God, create a child with her maidservant, backfired. Lots of things. There were ups and downs. God uses these illustrations to show us, regardless of whether I'm looking at Sarai, this applies to men and women. We will fall. We are full of contrasts and contradictions. We will fall down. We will make mistakes. We will get back up. God looks at your heart. Even David, after he plotted for a man to be killed and he could commit adultery with Bathsheba, God looked at him and called him a man after his own heart. God doesn't write you off. You just need to repent and say, Lord, here I am. But the Lord reappears again, and he renews the covenant again to Abraham. Where am I to? Oops, I'm losing all my bits. Where am I? Exodus 17. Let's see if we can find Exodus 17, because my bit of paper just fell out. Exodus 17, 15 to 16. Then God said to Abraham, oh, by now, God had just changed their names. God had just changed their names. He changed Abraham's name to Abraham. Abraham means father of nations. He changed Sarai's name to Sarah. It means princess, but it isn't my princess, as in just Abraham's. She was a princess of the nations. Genesis 17, 15 and 16. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Sarah was a dried up husk of a woman, past childbearing age, even in the day when people lived so much longer. Abraham was an old man. Genesis 18:4 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? It's beyond human natural power, but God is able. And it wasn't just 24 years that Sarah had waited for the promise, the first promise. This is the first time Sarah has been included in the promise that Abraham was given. It was all her married life. And we don't know exactly how long that is. But it was a long time. By now she was 89. If she'd got married at 20, which is unlikely, she probably would have been married younger. It would have been 69 years waiting. Waiting, longing, crying, asking. She believed God was holding back her heart's desire. Only God answered in his time. This had to be of God because it was impossible with man. Go back to Isaiah. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, and with the recompense of God he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. No matter how hard the place, no matter how long it takes, no matter how cold or indifferent our hearts grow, God will answer in his time and in his way. And as I thought about this message, I went for a walk at Park Penatural. I took a different path to what I would usually take. And it was a beautiful day. It was one day last week. And I stood still. And as I looked in front of me, the path wound and I couldn't see the end of the path. And when I turned around, the path wound and I couldn't see the end of the path. And I could choose the way that I went, and I would come to a known end because I knew where I was going. But in life, it's an unknown end. And I could choose the way that I walked. And I'd come out somewhere, even though it might take a while. And I was reminded that God knows my path. I was reminded that God knows my future. I only need to walk. Standing still isn't an option. And whichever direction I take, God has gone before me, but God is with me. However long it takes, God is waiting for me, but God is with me. I might not feel his presence, but by faith and by trust, I know, I believe his word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The promises of God are yes and amen through Christ Jesus. I don't know where you're at. I don't know. Some people I know are in a frail place. You don't know where I'm. Well, I did just share because I am quite honest about a lot of things. We don't know. We see the outward appearance. Yes, we're called to pray for one another. But when we struggle, we can ask one another. I'll admit, okay, and strike me down. I did say to somebody who was struggling the other day, I get where you're at. When somebody comes to me and starts speaking words of faith to me, and then start to go with a million scriptures and whatever else, my mind then goes, shut up. How rude. Because I'm struggling. That doesn't mean stop. It just means I'm not in the place at that moment to process everything and take it in, and my heart is too heavy or my brain is too overloaded. And I don't for an instant feel that it is anybody's fault but mine. But I do know that even when I think that's enough, I can't cope anymore, hang on a minute, slow down, back off, God uses the words that are spoken. He uses the scriptures, they're living words. And they will come back to me. They'll come back to me maybe when I go to bed. Or they'll pop back into my mind and I think, Linda, how ungracious was your, not necessarily my manner, because I could still be doing this, but inside. You know what goes on inside your head? Am I the only really, really fallen person here? Because that's the truth. There's sometimes when you're fainting, you're wavering, you're falling. Could be through no fault of your own. God will hear your cry. He will use people. You will have got his skin on. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Add to that list if you must, oppression, depression, anything I feel. Because the truth is, Jesus Christ died on the cross to take every single thing that will bar a relationship with God, his Father. When you ask forgiveness, your name was written in heaven. You are held, you are sealed, you are loved, you are kept, whether you feel it or not. Nothing can take you from his grip. I have a friend who signs off every email in his grip. Love. I don't know how long some answers take, and I haven't got the monopoly on patience, as you might have gathered. Thankfully, we're encouraged to support and lift each other up so that we can reinforce each other's faith. Walking alongside each other, building each other up, singing psalms and praises to one another. I had to remind somebody about that a couple of months back because I was being bombarded with newsreels and absolute drivel on WhatsApp, and I really didn't want to block this person because I knew their heart was in the right place. But to say, please, I'm not interested. I can look at these if I switch the news on or whatever else. Please speak to me in psalms and praises and things that are uplifting. Otherwise, please stop. And I felt dreadful because I heard nothing for a day. And now about four times a day, I am bombarded with little birds tweeting and saying, God bless you today. It doesn't matter. The fact of it is, it's psalms and praises, and it's the word of God. And I can deal, I can cope with that. I can cope with that. As we should. We've got the promises. We've got the hope. We've got the word. We have the answer. We can hold on to hope. Hebrews 1:11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, the hope, our conviction is what we stand under. It's the title deeds of what God has promised he will do. It's the evidence, the assurance that he will do and he can do what he says. The things that we're asking for in Christ, he hears and he is able. God will do it and he will answer. Jesus Christ was the light of the world, is the light of the world, is the hope of the world. You see, we're in here and we're so privileged because we know the answer. And even though we could fail, even though we could have those weak hands and feeble knees, even though we could be that person who's struggling right now, we have the answer. And we know Jesus Christ is the answer. But there are people who are going to an eternity without God who don't know the answer. There's a whole world. You could just go up this street and meet people who are broken, desperate, and desolate. But they might look perfectly fine on the outside. I'm not saying to come into church and pretend. We do sometimes put a mask on, and that's not the answer. We're called to be honest with one another. But we're also called to live the life of Christ, because we could be God with skin on for somebody that doesn't know Jesus. So always be ready to give an assurance of the hope that is within us. It's okay to cry in front of people. I went to a meeting for the first time on Friday afternoon of a lady that runs a charity for asbestos-related cancers. She had asked me specifically if I would go. It was being held in Risker Library in a room where she said it would be secure and safe if people wanted to break down. And it was for people who had lost ones they loved through asbestos-related cancer. She's been running this charity since her dad died about, I don't know, 7 years ago, 14 years ago maybe. But regardless of that, she said, Linda, she's a Christian. She said, I can't share my Christian faith because the charity has to be sort of completely unbiased and everybody come in. She said, I don't even know who's going to be there, but the people that come there will have lost somebody through the cancer. And she said, I know that you've lost Andrew, and I know that it's raw and devastating. But she said, you share hope when I speak to you. And there are people who have no hope, and they don't think they can get through. And I went, and she said, I don't even know whether you will be able to say anything or not. And I went, and I just prayed about it, and I thought, it's not an easy thing, because there's days when I'm okay, like this, and then nanosecond later, I could be in a mess, because that is the nature of everything. But you know, I'm so thankful that I know Christ is my Saviour. There was two lovely ladies there, one of whom is still, I don't know how long, it's quite a few years since her husband died, one of whom is still carrying the guilt of having to share with their children the diagnosis that their father had, and that she handled it badly. Regardless of the fact that her children would not want her to feel like it, she does. She can't get past that. There was another lady who just doesn't know, and it's been several years, she just doesn't know how to wake up. And I understand that. But you know, I know Christ. I have the hope of Christ Jesus in my heart. And it doesn't make any difference to the way that you feel. And it doesn't change grief. But what it does do is it gives me an assurance and a hope. And as you read from Revelation, I know where Andrew is. For the world, why would I want him back when he's with his Saviour? When he's the right side of heaven? Do you know, we need to just share this and to be God with skin on to one another and to those outside. So I'm just going to pray now. Father, thank you for your promises that are yes and amen through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are able to save to the utmost. But not just that, that you keep to the utmost. Just as my friend always says, yours in his grip. Let us remember who holds us. When we cry out to you, you will answer. Our impatient hearts don't wait for so long, because sometimes the pain and the turmoil and the dryness and the barren place is too much and we feel we'd be overwhelmed. But you have promised you will never leave nor forsake us. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, tomorrow, for all eternity, is our Lord and our Saviour. We cannot go by feelings. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we will say, Christ, you are my rock. You are my strength. You are my shield. I will trust in you. And I will hold on to you. And I will look for brothers and sisters who will encourage me, who will strengthen me, who will allow me to nestle in their faith until mine is strong enough to do the same for myself and somebody else. Bless your word. Keep it in our hearts. Don't let anything snatch it away, Lord. Let the seeds grow and enable us, Lord, to shine the light of Jesus Christ for you. And we ask this in his precious name. Amen.
I just want to express my gratitude to you all as a fellowship. I mean, Linda has spoken so much this morning about the encouragement of the fellowship. And I just feel I need to thank you, because I mean, there are amazing cards, texts, flowers, but for the moment, I want to thank you for your love. Because to me, going through what I've been through, it was just like a big warm blanket around me. And really, that's the only way I can describe it. So keep up the good work. Let's encourage one another. You know, I think sometimes we feel we sort of pop a text on, but we never really know how much that text or message is needed by that person at the time. I've experienced it, I know Linda did, going through the It's just such a blessing to be part of this fellowship.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't realise how much love we share. So I just wanted to give you a big thank you. What God has done through it, I'll share another time.
Amen. Amen. Hope you guys can hear us all. Give you that. Thank you.